Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in Jesus, our Redeemer and our hope. On Friday evening, I saw a play called Metamorphoses, and it is a series of Greek myths kind of pulled together, which all have the theme of transformation, but also just about all had a theme of love. Now, for many of them, it was romantic love. We saw the story of Eros and Psyche, the story of Orpheus and Eurydice. But it included stories of other types of love as well. And so what you're getting today is my own sort of episodic reflections on love. One of the myths that was told in the play that I hadn't heard before was about a time when Zeus and Apollo came down to visit humans to just see what humanity was like. They dressed as poor beggars, and they came into town, and they started knocking on doors. And they knocked on one door after another and were turned away at each one. Finally, coming all the way through town, they were at the outskirts, and there was a small cottage, and Apollo said, "Oh, forget it. This isn't, you know, these people, they don't want to help." And Zeus said, "One more door. Let's do this." So they knocked on the door, and the couple who were there, whose names I don't remember, invite them in and give them food and share what they have and invite them for the night. It is a story of what love for the neighbor and love for the stranger looks like. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we read, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It does not put on airs. Love does not seek its own way. Many of us have heard this read at weddings. It often comes up. And I enjoy preaching about it at weddings, because I like to remind people that this is not written about romantic love. It is not written about the feeling of love. And so I tell couples one after another that when that in love feeling that you're so full of today is not filling your hearts, those are the days that you do what Paul says. Love is patient. Love is kind. Those are choices that we make. But what Paul is writing about is love as it is lived out in community. Love that is for the benefit and building up of community, as he has been talking about the spiritual gifts we share for the building up of community. And so we choose to be kind, we choose to be patient, we choose to let go of resentment and the need to be first, instead lifting up another person and seeking the common good and the welfare of all. And that is what it looks like to build the beloved community, right? So friends, it's been a hard week. So many people in this country are losing livelihoods, are living in fear and anxiety. I feel very anxious, and I am constantly asking myself, but what can I do? What more can I do? A friend sent me a list from Diana Butler Bass of 10 W's to do every day. And they include wake up, welcome the day, walk, work, weep, and wonder. And that's helpful, but it's an awful lot of things to try to remember to do, and there are some days I don't want to try to remember to do all 10 things. But I was listening to a story, just a fantasy novel of the type I listen, and one of the characters said, "I do something kind every day." And I thought, that I can do. That's something I can do. And it made me think of all the kindness that I have seen this week, all of the ways that I have seen people practice love for the sake of community. One was at a Zoom meeting sponsored by the Transgender Resource Center of New Mexico this past week. Over 100 people, and I think that was limited by the number of people the Zoom room would include. There were folks trying to get in. And it was there just to share information, what is happening, what is helpful, what resources do we have, to listen to one another's very valid fears and to offer encouragement and support for one another. Immediately after I logged off there, I went to another Zoom meeting with Lutheran Advocacy Ministry about how we can work together to make sure that people experiencing poverty in this state have adequate access to food and housing, and to make sure that our state is not participating in inhumane detention of immigrants for-profit facilities. I saw love this week in the Lutheran churches around the country who celebrated Reconciling in Christ Sunday last weekend in support of our LGBTQIA+ neighbors. And we will have that Sunday in June at this congregation. And also in the many bishops and synods in the ELCA, but also in so many church bodies, making statements in support of immigrant community in this time of fear, saying to immigrants, we see you and we stand with you. We practice love, my friends, whenever we put extra groceries in our cart for food insecure families at Sierra Vista or for any of our neighbors who are hungry. And when we make blankets for unhoused neighbors here in Albuquerque in this cold weather, or quilts which we send around the world. I experienced love this week in sharing communion with homebound members and in sharing pizza and games with some of my friends. And so I wonder, what has love looked like in your life this week? Take a moment and think about it, and maybe turn to someone sitting near you and tell them, what has love looked like in your life this week? I hope that you can think of something where you've seen love active. Does anyone have one they want to share out loud? I have someone here who held a granddaughter. Oh, that's love active. I was actually thinking, too, of people sharing their pictures of their grandkids. That's always a lot of love going on there. Anyone else? Well, I can hear you talking. I can hear the stories of love. Karen. Wonderful. All right. Karen said that her grandson Jacob makes her laugh every day, and that is such a big part of love that we share. Yeah. And that's too with my friends when we had pizza and played games, and we just laughed and enjoyed time. And Deb?
I did taxes for a gal this week who was transgender, and she was trying to get her FAFSA money from the university to be released. And in 2022, she was Daniel, and they would not release the money until she had her tax forms say the same thing as her W-2s. So she had to come back to someone, and it cost her some money to do this. And the only thing that they look at on these things is your last name and your social security number. They don't even look at your first name. The IRS doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So I helped this person go through that when I did taxes this week and was able to help them get this done so they could get their money.
And for those who couldn't hear Deb and those on Zoom, somebody, a transgender person facing some of that very real discrimination that's starting to happen with her taxes and her school aid, and Deb helping her get the taxes lined up so that it could work. Those things are very real, my friends. A lot of fear.
And another person came in. This yesterday happened. He's a Native American person, but we were talking about paperwork and stuff, and he said, I keep my papers here because I don't know who they're going to send out to the country next. And I'm from here.
Here. And I'm keeping it on me.
I'm worried about where my stuff is.
Also very real, Native people being targeted by ICE. Like they were here before you. Judy, where have you seen love?
I saw love. A wonderful colleague of Katie Anderson's, Jason Riggs, I watched him testify before the Health and Human Services Committee this week on behalf of outreach so that people who are eligible for SNAP can get on and get food.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So Judy witnessed testimony in the legislature this week to help with food SNAP assistance to continue. So many ways. There's a lot of love yesterday at the Roadrunner Food Bank for the Super Bowl. I mean, hundreds of people walking around eating little bits of soup and supporting that ministry as well. So this, my friends, is how we will deal with the fear and uncertainty and all the pain that we are witnessing in these days. We remember that love, the love described by Paul, the love taught us by Jesus, is not something we feel, but something we do, something we practice day after day. And so we continue practicing love and looking for where we see love in action around us. And now for a little new episode. This week in an interview with Fox News, we heard Vance say, "There is a Christian concept that you love your family, and then you love your neighbor, and then you love your community, and then you love your fellow citizens. And after that, prioritize the rest of the world." My Facebook feed lit up with that one, pointing out that this is just the opposite of the love that Jesus and the Bible teaches us. And theologian Kat Armas, who you have all heard from so many times, this last fall wrote a response in the National Catholic Reporter, and I wanted to share some of her words with you. "The problem with this hierarchy of love is that it feeds the myth that some people are more deserving of our care than others. It's a framework that makes sense in a world governed by scarcity and fear, where protection comes at the expense of others. But Jesus never speaks of love as something to be rationed. He speaks of love as abundance, a table where there is enough for everyone. Colonial ideology has conditioned us to think in binaries and hierarchies. Who is in and who is out? Who is first and who is last? We struggle to fathom a love that is not ranked, that does not sort people into categories of worthiness. But Jesus seemed to be inviting us always into a different way, a different world together, one where love moves freely and without hierarchy, breaking down the borders we've been taught to build. Jesus' teaching was not about prioritizing family first and neighbors second. It was about demolishing the categories that keep us from seeing each other as worthy of love in the first place. Love of family and love of neighbor are not in competition. They are a part of the same holy calling. Love is not a finite resource to ration out, but a river that flows wild and without restraint. The empire's vision of love is built on scarcity, but the kingdom of God is built on abundance. If we find ourselves asking, 'Who is my neighbor?' we are already missing the point. The better question is, 'How do I love without limits?'" So in this play on Friday evening, the story about the couple who welcomes Zeus and Apollo into their home, thinking about welcoming strangers in need, is almost at the end of the play. Zeus and Apollo offer them a boon, anything you ask of us. And what they ask is that they would die together so that neither one has to outlive the other. And so it says, at the end of a long life, at a ripe old age, they walk out one day from their cottage and they stand and they begin to be rooted and their arms grow into tree limbs and they become two trees that stand together. And you can hear in the sound of wind through their branches, and the whole cast says together, "Do not let me outlive my love. Do not let me outlive my capacity to love. Do not let me outlive my capacity to love. That is my prayer this day, my friends. Do not let fear and anxiety and sadness and rage take away my capacity to love and to see the love that is at work all around me. For now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Amen.